Blog Talk Radio.
We're sorry, the number you've dialed,
What up, everybody? It's your girl, Cherie, Creative Dorm Room Television, and we are here with our last and final installment of the Women's Making History radio series. Hopefully, you've been tuning in with us on a long journey that we've had of amazing women, and I wanted to end it off with somebody who's a personal friend of mine and also somebody you can learn a lot from. So radio personality, philanthropist, youth worker, community service worker, all of that, my girl. And I feel like Buffalo's own Adriana. Are you here, girl?
Of course I am. I would not miss this for the world. For the world, sure.
I'm so happy that we got you here because I know you are busy. You probably just got finished doing your own show or whatever. So thank you for taking the time out to be here with us. And I wanted to end this radio series strong. And I'm like, who better than, you know, a person like you who does so many things? And let the people know exactly what you do, how you got your start, and, you know, just kind of introducing yourself to everybody.
Okay, well, of course, my name is Adriana DeVillagiavo. I go by the name of Adri V, the go-getter. And I got the go-getter name from one of my friends. I used to do a TV show when I was in high school. I started doing radio when I was in high school. My community center had, like, this community radio station. And one day she was like, you know, you're a go-getter. And I was like, what is that? And I really didn't know what it was until she called me that. And she was like, you know, it just seems like every time you see something that you want, you know, like, you go get it. And that is a name that just really just stuck with me throughout the years. And I just really made that my mantra for life. Like, anything that you want in life, you could just go and get it. So, of course, I started out when I was in high school, like I said, interning with the very same radio station that I now work for. And I started that at 16. Like, I look back, it's like, wow, I really was an intern forever. I feel like I am still interning to a certain extent. And so after college, I got hired. But while in college, you know, I still continued to intern. I end up interning at BET and CNN in New York. You know, that was, like, really one of my biggest exposure opportunities to really see what it's like to work in corporate side and really being in New York City. That was a whole different kind of monster. It gave me a different kind of a work ethic and a hustle, just really seeing everybody else making moves. It really just motivated me. And just imagine interning at CNN one day and interning at BET the next day. It was just like night and day. So I got a chance to get two separate experiences. So it was really dope. And you know, just from interning gave me the opportunity to, you know, get hired and work at the radio station I work for, which then extended to two other stations. So three in total.
Now you mentioned interning. Now that is one of the biggest things that I always myself, because, you know, if people don't know me, I've been a big intern too, as you might say, an intern for my whole life. But a lot of, you know, younger kids coming up today into the entertainment industry specifically, they don't want to intern. It's like they want to get paid for everything that they do. So tell us why it's important to intern, or if, like, how intern basically kind of changed it around to let people know, like, interning is still important and is valid.
Man, interning is beyond important because interning gives you the opportunity to get a firsthand experience on if you want to do this profession or not. You know, this is one of the things I tell a lot of the high school students I know and college students I know. Like, if you want to be a doctor, yeah, the money sounds great, but I want you to intern with a doctor and see what a doctor has to do, whether it's surgeon, pediatrician, cardiologist, whatever. You know, you have to see. Like, if you can't stand the sight of blood, you're not going to be a doctor. So, you know, being an intern gives you the first-hand experience on seeing what it's like to be in that field, and then it really gives you the chance to see, is this really what I want? And it gives you experience, like, amongst anything else. You really get a chance to go into a field without having to commit to, you know, when you're getting paid for something, it's a whole different level of commitment. Mm-hmm. But when you're interning, it's a whole different level of commitment, because if you really want to remain with that company or if you really want to get hired, you know, you're definitely going to go hard, but you just get so much experience on learning the different departments. Like, I could speak for myself, when I interned at BET, I interned for the show called Black Carpet, you know, and I was upset because I didn't get 106 The Park right. But me being at the Black Carpet was one of the best experiences because unlike the people who interned at 106 The Park, they just really was trying to get the audience hyped up, but they didn't really have full responsibilities where I was a part of a show that only had a limited amount of producers and production assistants, and they really, excuse me, really relied on an intern to do the footwork. Excuse me, I keep choking. So I really was sent out into the field to do interviews and really just doing a lot of the footwork, and really gave me an opportunity to come back again to do an internship. So interning gives you a first-hand experience on getting into the nitty-gritty of the field that you want to be a part of.
I totally agree. Now, so much it goes into when it comes to the entertainment industry, music industry, whether it's radio, television, whatever it is. When you are out there, there's a certain, you know, air about women who are coming into the entertainment industry and what's expected behind them. And sometimes it's very over-sexualized, you know what I mean? And you're around a lot of men all the time. And when you look at it from the outside looking in, it just seems like women are not actually the bosses. They are, you know, they're just the meat. You know, so what kind of advice would you give to young women or women in general who's about to go into this environment, because it's like a jungle and you got to make sure you know who you are. So what advice would you give, or even a story or something like that, to give to people, especially women, you know, what to prepare for, what to let them know what's about to come at them, basically?
Well, it's funny because most recently I had a meeting with a mentor of mine, and I just was like, you know, I find it difficult sometimes to maneuver in this male-dominated field. And she was like, I have a secret to share with you. Every field is a male-dominated field. And it just really gave me a different perspective. And so when it comes to women and what is it I have known, just like you said, first and foremost, you have to know yourself. You have to know who you are as a person, know your values, you know your core principles and your core values, and knowing what is it you stand for and live by. You know, for me, I'll give an example. When I was in college, you know, of course I interned with the radio station, and once I got hired, you know, people wanted to book me to host different parties. And I'm very conscious and very particular on how I am displayed or put out there, simply because, you know, I carry myself in a certain kind of manner. You know, I'm not going to, you know, allow sex to sell me. And I will always be told, well, Adriana, you need to, you know, get a little bit more sexy, show a little bit of this. And I'm just like, you know, although sex may sell, I'm not trying to sell my sex. Simply because I just felt like this is what everyone is doing, and I just wanted to go the opposite way. And then when everybody is doing that, then you get treated as such. So I've always heard that as a woman, and if I'm calling myself a woman, a self-respecting woman, that I need to carry myself in a self-respecting way. You know, my pastor always say, if you're dressing like a dog catcher, you're going to catch dogs. So if you dress accordingly to what is it you're trying to present yourself in a certain kind of manner, you know, you will get respected in that way. Yes, you can still be sexy, but, you know, there's a balance to it. Like for me, if I'm, you know I work amongst nothing but men. Most of the time I'm the only female in the room because I work with a lot of DJs. I'm not going to always come in there, you know, trying to be overly sexy. I'll pull my sweats, you know, sometimes I'm fitted. Some stretch pants or something to blend in with them. One, because I don't want us to get unfocused on what we're here to do, which is to do our jobs and to, you know, really be the best that we can possibly be on air. And secondly, what really has helped me too to maneuver in this industry is this book called Put Your Dreams First, Handle Your Entertainment Business by Thembisa M. Jaka. And reading that book really gives different stories of how women have had issues in the industry, different things that may have happened from, you know, every component of the entertainment industry. And so, you know, that book really helped me to see exactly what to look for, the red flags, and besides me knowing and having my core values, just really making sure that I'm displaying them on a regular basis. So, you know, what I say to anybody that's interested in this field, that's a woman, and that really want to make sure they're respected, is know your core values and, you know, operate accordingly to them.
That's perfect, actually. I couldn't have said it better myself. Now, kind of taking it a little bit of turn, It's a lot of reality shows and reality stars being made on TV every single day. And more, now I'm seeing them actually becoming the host, becoming a radio personality.
Yep.
Do you think that it's actually going to be hindering? Because right now, like, I can think of a million reality stars who I know haven't actually went to school, actually put in the time in or interned or did all of those things that, you know, would get them on the radio. But because they have a hit show and they are like a celebrity now, they actually are working red carpets. They actually have their own radio shows. So do you think that's hindering now for, like, the people, like, who really are out there in the field who want to get that job, but now they're being taken over by, you know, people who just because they get a lot of likes on Instagram or Facebook or because they're recognizable, they're taking the jobs.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I just had this conversation. Like, you can look at a Delicious, you know, she's on in Detroit. You can look at a Khloe Kardashian. She had a show for, like, a hot second. I believe it was in L.A. with Terry J. You know, and not even just these reality stars. You can look at comedians like a Ricky Smiley. You can look at a comedian like a Steve Harvey, who are individuals, not that I know of, that went to school for communication, but have some kind of ability. I'll speak about Ricky Smiley and Steve Harvey, who has an ability to communicate and to really make people laugh. So they have some type of charisma, where we speak of, you know, the reality star. I'll give one, you know, use Delicious as an example. Not knocking a hustle. I feel like, you know, if you got something, you go ahead and ride that wave. But has it before put a saucy taste in my mouth? It did, because I'm like, you know, I got student loans. I paid for this tuition. Like, I went to school for this, I've interned, and, you know, you bring in this person. But then I had to really take a step back and just, like, you know, at the end of the day, I just have to always be on point. I just have to really make myself the best I possibly can. I just really got to know the industry and really know my area and make sure that I'm an expert at it and be great at it. And at the end of the day, it's room for everybody. So me knocking the next person or getting upset at them, where at one point I was like, this is not fair. But I had to really have a real come to Jesus talk with myself. Like, you know what, at the end of the day, however they got that position is however they got that position. But you know what you're here for. You know what you're good at. You know what your God-given talents are. You know what you studied and worked hard for. So you just have to keep pushing that direction and be the best you can at pursuing, you know, what is it you're looking to pursue. I know for me personally, just really trying to be, you know, the best radio personality I can be. I'm trying to be that next time joiner. So I got to make sure I'm on point and really just not allow how others got their position or opportunities to affect my progress.
So now you're not just on, like, for, I guess the people who don't know, you're not just a radio personality. You do a lot of work with the youth, the community, because you're from Buffalo, and you currently, like, I always say you run Buffalo. You should get a billboard that says, welcome to Buffalo, and have Adrie V right over the top of it, because if you are in Buffalo, they know where you are. Yeah, like JD did with Atlanta. I feel that way. So, like, tell us a little bit about how you got into working with the youth and the community and, you know, just about the foundation and stuff that you started yourself.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was younger, I was extremely active in the different community organizations that we had here in Buffalo, especially my community center. My community center where, you know, like I said, the radio station was at, I lived at this community center, and there was a program called Yo Buffalo that really transformed me as a youth. I got my license through Yo Buffalo, permit. They taught me how to drive. You know, they did job development training. I had a mentor, a counselor. Like, it was just, like, this huge program that gave us endless of opportunities, you know, job opportunities, job training, college help. And so that just always stuck with me. And, you know, I was introduced to being a debutante, Alpha Kappa Alpha debutante. And, you know, that gave me a different perspective, a young girl from the hood walking around doing a walk. Like, okay. really, you know, it really helped me out. And so growing up and having had all those experiences, you know, I really made sure that, you know, I had a lot of individuals who are now my mentors and put wisdom into me. And so I just felt like it would only be right, and it was my responsibility to do the same for the youth that I encounter. So after, while in college, I created the Go Getter Scholarship that I give away to my high school, to a senior that displays the go-getter spirit, has an 85 and above average, that is extremely active in extracurricular activities, you know, that are going to a four-year accredited college. And so they are awarded a scholarship that I give to them at McKinley High School, which is my alma mater. And then from there, having the scholarship, I branched off and doing a girls program called Go Getter Girls. And Girls is an acronym for Gifted, Intelligent, Relentless Leaders. And I just really wanted to utilize and take on the things that I learned from the programs that I was a part of to input to the girls that we have that are here in Buffalo. And, you know, I really just became sad because I just really would see our girls not focused, you know, not having a dream, not really wanting to put forth a work ethic, just really lost. And, you know, once I graduated from college as well, I had an opportunity to work for a not-for-profit organization where I put together an after-school program for high school students. And it was for both boys and girls. And I realized that then I'm a woman. I can't really groom a man. So I knew best that, you know, at some point I would branch off, create my own program, and that's what I did with the Go Getter Girls.
Great, obviously, because we all need that. And for me, when I look at your platform, when I look at you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you always are taking the motivational route. You're never like, you know, because you are on-air personality, you could definitely take the whole gossip or I'm just going to talk about people and stuff like that. What made you take that route? Because when you go on to any of your pages, you always like are motivating people and pushing them to do better. And it's like that's a route that's sometimes not, I want to say not recognized. People more recognize like the people who are bashing people, the radio personalities or who like are, you know, spilling the tea and all that other stuff. So what made you decide to say, you know what, I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to take the motivational, the uplifting, the encouraging route.
Yeah, like, although, because I am on air, I have a segment called the 411, which is, you know, spilling the tea. I call it spilling the tea on all your favorite celebrities, which is the news. And I still do it, but I always try to give it a positive spin. Or I always try to propose the question as in, you know, what would you do if you were in this situation? Just because people want to know what's going on in the world of celebrities. But I choose not to really focus solely on that, especially like on my own website, which is adrianvthegogetter.com. I try to highlight the things that is not highlighted or talked about when it comes to celebrities, you know, like the giving back concept, the foundations that they have, the different monumental moments that happen in their life that are very positive, just simply because they're always being bashed, they're always being talked about, and they're always being focused on the negative. Like whenever sometimes an artist comes to the station, people want to focus on, you know, the biggest, the latest scandal that happened with them or, you know, what's going on with this, and versus focusing on what they're really here for, which is to talk about the music. So I just really try to give a different approach and to make the artists feel a bit more comfortable when I'm able to be in their presence, and making sure that I'm pumping as much positivity as possible. Because every time you turn the news or go on the internet, it's always something negative. So I just try to take a different route than what everybody else is already taking.
And plus, cool. Now, what has been? Trust me, it's so much of it going on. So, what has been one of your biggest lessons learned so far?
My biggest lessons learned so far. I'll just say, I mean, there's so many, but I'll touch on this one. When I had a chance to come to BET to intern, like I said, I was so upset that I didn't get the 106 in Park internship. But I was with the show Black Carpet. And so I came back home after I got off the L.A. Dolar because I was commuting from Long Island. And I was like, Mom, I'm coming home. Like, I didn't get the 106 in Park opportunity. They got me doing some stupid show called The Black Carpet. Like, I never even heard of this show ever. Like, I'm coming home. Like, I just don't want to do this no more. My mother was just like, okay, come on. Right? So when she was just so relaxed, I was like, what do you mean? Come on. Like, you're supposed to be telling me that you need to stay, stick it out, you know, spend all this money to get there, you know. And she was using reverse psychology on me the whole time. And so my biggest lessons, you know, that I've learned is so cliche, you know, you can't tell a book by its cover. You know, if I would have just really got upset because I didn't get the position that I wanted, I would have been in for a rude awakening because, you know, I really got a chance to be a moving force on that production team, setting up interviews. Mm-hmm. Like, I interviewed Tony Parker that year when he was getting married to Eva Longoria, Jasmine Sullivan, and, like, they were sending me out to these individual record labels, to their homes, to the stores they were at, and just being able to really get you know, full hands-on experience to, you know, putting together production packages for the BET Awards. And I would have been just another intern sitting in the audience, getting the audience hyped up if I was with 106 and Park. But I was placed with the black carpet, where I left with so much experience, and then the year after that they asked me to come back. So the biggest takeaway was, you know, really just taking the time, although it may not have been what you wanted or requested, but, you know, at the end of the day, God knows what he's doing and that he's going to position you right where you need to be.
Got, I mean, I 120,000% agree. So this is Women's History Month, and this is the whole reason why we're doing this radio series. So who has been an influential woman or women in your life?
Of course, you know, I would say my mother. You know, my mother has been a single-parent mom since I was 5 years old. You know, we were homeless. We stayed with my grandfather. And me and my mom slept in the same bed for, like, 11 years. And I didn't have my own room until I was 13 years old. And that's when we have finally moved back and rebuilt our home. But my mother would go to school. She went to school. She was a nurse's she was, like, a CNA at first, and she became a nurse's aide. And then she went to school, and she became a LPN, and went to school to become an RN, and she's still in school. But one of the biggest things that I admire her is that when she got diagnosed with breast cancer in 2013, that she never let it stop her. Like, we would go to chemo, radiation, and then she'll want to go get something to eat and go to the mall. And she worked. She worked every day of chemo and radiation. I mean, she didn't take a day off. And if she had a bad day, you know, she took a moment and got right back up and kept pushing. And it's just, you know, her strength and her stick-to-itiveness and just her go-getterness, you know, has always been something I admire, that, you know, one, you have the ability to achieve exactly what you want as long as you work hard, and that there is nothing that can stop you, you know, in the midst of the different adversities that she encountered. She still kept pushing and still is pushing. And now she's, her cancer is in remission. She's completely clean and clear of it. And I just pray it continues to be that way. But she is one of my biggest, no, she is the woman that I look up to most, amongst others. You know, of course, you have Oprah Winfrey, and to me, Kathy Hughes, the creator, founder of Radio One. So, but amongst those women, of course, first and foremost is my mother.
That's so great. I feel like everybody going to just be crying, like, dang, she just gave us a whole life story in, like, 5 seconds, and we just want to go give her a hug. But,
right,
you know, to kind of wrap things up before we go into our flash questions, what do you think is the biggest, like, misconception people have about radio personalities and people in television? Because we see this as, like, a glamorous job, and you just hang out with celebrities all day, and you just, you know, look pretty on TV, and you sound cool on the radio. So what is it like to really do that job, if you could tell us real quick? Because a lot of people kind of want to get into it not for the passion, but now it looks like because they want to be celebrities almost.
The biggest misconception is that you get paid a lot of money. You do not get paid, you know, depending on who you are, what market you're in. You know, it is not a cash cow of a position. And I think Dame Dash most recently in an interview with The Breakfast Club was able to really drill that in. You know, of course, some people had mixed reviews of what he was saying, but what he said was true. Like, do you own the name of this show? And they're like, nah. And it just made sense because at the end of the day, this is not yours. So I think one of the biggest misconceptions sometimes is that our radio personalities are getting paid money. Or if you're on television, that's not true. This is really a passion-filled job. You really have to love what you do. You really have to have a heart and a knack for it, because it's not easy. And it's very cutthroat, because you could be here today, gone tomorrow. You know, you can make one slip-up of your lip and say something on the radio, and you get cut. You know, there can be there, or even on your social media, you have to represent yourself, because in a certain kind of way, because you're not just representing you anymore, you're representing these different entities that you're connected to. And even when another misconception is that people on the radio may be beautiful or look good because they sound good. And I think now with social media has now proven that point to be clear as day.
That yeah, they debunked that myth when they started recording interviews. You'd be like, dang, such and such looked like that day?
Right. Okay, so I think that it has social media and technology has changed the game when it comes to being on a radio, because I just remember being young and never seeing the radio
personality. I thought they all were glamorous.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thought they were fine.
I thought everybody who was on the radio was glamorous. I didn't know that they had no makeup on, had sweats on, and hoodies.
Yes.
So I think once people started, like, taking pictures when they're in the studio, I'm like, wait, that's what y'all look like? But it's like, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. How else would you think? But they sound so glamorous, so you would think they look so glamorous. So before you leave, we got to do our flash questions. Flash questions are basically questions that you answer really quickly without giving it any thought. So first question, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke or Pepsi? Pepsi.
Hip-hop or R&B?
Hip-hop.
Favorite time of day?
Midnight hour.
The number one person you would like to interview?
Woo! Oprah Winfrey and P. Diddy. I'm sorry.
The journey or the destination?
Like, up your neck and neck.
The journey or the destination?
The journey.
What keeps you centered?
The Lord.
You said the Lord?
The Lord Jesus.
And, the place where you can go to clear your mind?
It's the gym. I just left there.
And who is Adriana?
Adriana is just a girl who's chasing her dream and just want to empower others to do the same.
That was good. Everybody else got so stumped on that one, but you did well. You came prepared. Let everybody know where they can reach you at. Your website, your Twitter handles, all that other stuff before we let you go.
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and also my website at All Things Adri V, the Go-Getter. That's ADRIVTHEGOGETTA.
Thank you. You heard it from her, y'all. Follow her. Make sure you follow her. At least she'll motivate you. If she won't do nothing else, you'll be like, you know what? I could go to the gym today because Adriana said all things are possible. We just got to stay motivated. Thank you so much for taking time out and letting me wrap this up on a great note. And I feel like your interview will inspire and help a lot of people. And so thank you so much for kicking it with me and the Dorm, Dorm Television crew. So
I appreciate you.
And make sure you follow her. All right, take care now. All right, y'all, you just heard from Adri V. Man, this has been one of those long but really, really cool and really interesting roles that we take in every Sunday for the month of March. We have interviewed somebody who has been a woman who is doing their thing right now, currently in their career, chasing after their dreams and their passions. And we went from author, book author, blogger, financial planner, photographer, and we ended it with a radio personality. And so the whole reason why I started this was to give people some type of inspiration. And sometimes when you don't know what you know what you want to do, but you don't know how to go about doing it, and you just need somebody to kind of to get some advice from somebody or just to see how they did it. And that was the whole reason why I started this series, because I wanted to show people that you can do it, because people are doing it. They are regular people who are doing extraordinary things, and they are making history because they're making moves in their own fields. So thank you to everybody who took part. Every woman, it was five of y'all, because this month, for some reason in 2015, it was five Sundays. So thank you to all of them part in this radio series, and make sure you keep rocking out with Dorm Television. We have another series coming up soon. I won't go too much into detail, but follow Dorm Television on everything. www.dormroom.tv. That's DORMROOM.TV. And make sure you follow us on our social media handles, Twitter, Instagram, everything else that you could think of. Facebook is Dorm TV. Well, Facebook is facebook.com/Dorm Television. So thank you so much, and keep rocking with us. Dorm Television is on the move, and we're here to stay. And we got a lot of great things coming up. So book club members, we got another book we're about to drop in a couple days. And if you want to sign up with the Dorm Book Club, just hit us on Twitter or send us your email address, and we'll add you to the Dorm Book Club, because it's a great club. Every month we have a new book, whether it's self-help, love books, business books, investors books. We always pick another book to have every month. And that if you need something to read or if you haven't been reading in a while, you want to talk about that popping book that you got, we have, you know, that for you. And it's amazing. We have like 70 members so far. So just send us your email and we'll add you. Thank you all for rocking with us. We'll speak to you soon. All right, y'all. Bye.